Scripture reading comes from Old Testament, Book of Joel, Prophet Joel. I believe chapter 2, verses 27 through 29. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. The day of the Lord. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. The word of the Lord. Now time for the gospel reading. Please stand. It comes from the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. It can be found in your pew Bible, New Testament, page 76. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down upon everyone else, Jesus told his parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Fast twice I work a week and give tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood up at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The word of the Lord.
Richard Schneer's wearing red today, and I asked him about that. I thought maybe it was just to stand out in the snow so he didn't get run over. But he looked at me askance, said, this is Reformation Day. And he said, Protestants know that, and grinned at me. We don't celebrate it quite as much as the Lutherans do, but Reformation Day, that remembrance of Martin Luther, 1517, he nailed up his 95 theses on the church door at Wittenberg, reforming against the Roman Catholic Church, some of the abuses that were going on there, to bring about a better church, to bring about a new way of being. He considered himself reforming the Catholic Church, but indeed ended up with its own separate group, which we call ourselves Protestants. Kind of wonder if the United Methodists aren't headed in that direction as we debate whether to stay together or split and to rebuild ourselves. But new life comes, and God is in the midst of that, and we give thanks for that. But Richard, thank you for wearing red and reminding us and calling us to account to Martin Luther. Yeah, it will help you, yeah, if you're out in the weather. And so, a celebration of Martin Luther and celebration of the Protestant Reformation. Being able to have the service in English instead of Latin and all of the things that the Reformation brought and all of the things that are a part of our worship. We are a fortunate people, aren't we? Joel this morning, James did a great job of reading Joel. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves, in those days I will pour out my spirit. I kind of grin when I hear that. I mean, this is pretty cool. We're the selected ones. We're the ones that God has said, these are the ones that I'm going to nurture the most. This is the core of carrying forward my message. And I feel a little puffed up. I feel special and You know, I want to share my gifts with the world, certainly, but those amazing gifts that God has given us to us. But sometimes we get caught up a little bit in thinking about how proud we are of we are those selected people. We are God's chosen ones, and we are thankful for that. And we have, some of us have been studying Bible for decades and decades, and we know it. And sometimes we get a little arrogant about the fact that we know that Bible well, and we can quote things, and we can bring it out. And so we, the keepers of God's Spirit, we can climb on top of the pile of turtles. Ego, kind of a funny thing. You know, it's kind of an American thing, I hate to say. We are a proud nation, and for good reason, mostly and by and large. But I have a friend, it's kind of funny. How many of you ever watch football? You ever heard of football? We were talking one day, and he said to me, I said, did you see the Bronco game? He says, I don't watch the Bronco game. I thought, sacrilege. And he said, no, I was watching the college game. He says, I prefer to watch the college games. And I said, oh, really? I said, how come? And he said, you don't have to deal with all the egos. He says, they're there playing football. He says, you can watch them play football, and they'll be number 59 or number 61 or number 63. You don't have to worry about if it's an Elway or a Namath or a Aaron Rodgers and zooming in on their face to see every grimace and shake of their head and nod. He says, the egos get in the way of me watching NFL. Well, he was a little bit, in my opinion, that's a little excessive. You have to understand that. And I acknowledge that that's a huge piece of it. We have never seen a football player that's so caught up in themselves that they forget about the rest of the team, have we? No, not possible. So egos and that balance of being proud and who we are about, that's the discussion for the morning. Because the parable that James read, the Pharisee and the tax collector, this is a fascinating passage. Here is a good man. This is a great guy. He tithes regularly, a tenth, a full tenth. That's what a tithe is one-tenth of what you receive. For every $100 you receive, you give back a dollar saying, Lord, thank you, $100. Give back $10 for, I have to do the math there. That's why we have Suzanne to keep us in line as an accountant. But you give back a tenth saying, Lord, this came from you to me, a gift. You gifted me with my ability to do my work. You gifted me with my ability to sing for those singers or to my artistry. And I acknowledge that you are the one that has gifted me. And so this man tithes. He's there. He's in the temple. He's praying. He's a pretty good guy. He fasts regularly. I don't know many people that fast anymore. It's kind of gone out of fashion. And we won't go down that path and don't probably need to. But here is a good and faithful Pharisee. He's there in the temple. He seems to be a great guy. But then he says, God, I thank you that I am not like those other people. Rogues, thieves, adulterers, and especially that tax collector. He just fell off that pedestal, didn't he? And tax collectors. Now, tax collector, you have to think about it, and you have to think about just how abhorrent that was. You live in a nation that's been conquered by Rome, and the Roman government has its own set of gods trying to push all your gods aside. And their emperor, in fact, claims to be a god on earth. And not only that, but they tax you, and you have to support that government. And you have to obey their laws. And you have to do what they say. And you have no rights because you're not a Roman citizen. So this oppressive Roman government is in your midst. And here are Hebrews that have hired on to help them out. They're going to help collect taxes for the Roman government. They are unclean. They are a people that have been traitors to their own nation, their own religion. They are a people that have abandoned their allegiance to God, and gods of the Romans have become in their midst. We don't know if they've changed their worship or not. But nonetheless, these tax collectors were not liked. You are participating in the enemy's work. But the tax collector, and he's standing afar off. Your phrasing was a little different. He was standing way off or something. I don't recall what you were said, but he's not even close to where the Pharisee is standing, but he's a way off, and he does not look up. He keeps his head bowed down, and he says, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And then Jesus jumped in and finishes it off. He says, "Who do you think is justified?" It's the tax collector. Now, if you took away the two speeches, the one of the Pharisee and the one of the tax collector, you would probably think that the Pharisee was the most holy of the two. So what is the metric that Jesus is using to determine the righteousness of the tax collector over that of the Pharisee? Humility. I'm glad I'm not like those people. There was a saying once, and I again don't recall where it was, but it says, everyone you meet is better at something than you are. I try and remember that. I try and remember that when I'm in the midst of people that are driving me nuts. Usually that happens for me in a car. There are some nutty drivers out there. Of course, there are a lot of people that look at me driving and says, there are some nutty drivers out there. So you just have to kind of take that all in balance and stride. But we have to think about that. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled. But all who humble themselves will be exalted. Humility. Joel, special. Prophets and seers and dreamers and filled with the Spirit and yet humility. Not placing ourselves above others. Now, my first full-time appointment, I worked with Keith Merriman in Fort Morgan, Colorado. Keith's an outstanding man, and just a model of Christianity. And it was good for me for my first appointment, kind of helped set me on the road, if you will. But he said one day, he says, sad is the dog that won't wag its own tail. And I've remembered that statement. There are times when people will compliment me on something and I try and push it aside. I'm really not after accolades, if you will. But he said, sad is the dog that won't wag its own tail. And there's some truth to that, acknowledging what we do accomplish. And maybe we need to do more of that. Lord, today I managed to be polite to these people, and I opened the door for this lady, and I was standing there in line at the deli counter, and I was first in line, and this other woman came right up and jumped in front of me, and it was okay. I let her go. So I've done a few good things, Lord, but I have a lot further to go. So I think it's all right to acknowledge the things that we are accomplishing, because we are moving on to perfection, aren't we? We are moving on to perfection, aren't we? Yes. Thank you, Mark, for leading us down that road. I mean, those of you who didn't speak, maybe you're already at perfection, and I'll leave you alone. But speaking for myself, I think I'm on the road. Our egos, like the Pharisees in the temple, they estrange us from God. And that draws us away from being those faithful ones that we can be. We need to acknowledge that we are broken. Every one of us is broken some. In some ways, in some manner, in some amount, we have fallen short of what we're called to do. At the same time, we all have those gifts and graces that we can celebrate as children and listed in Joel, filled with vision, filled with care, filled with possibilities. We're working at it. We're moving on to perfection, but we are still just humble servants of the Master. 2 weeks ago, we read the scripture, and it ended with Jesus asking the question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? It's a fascinating question, and it one that just sets waiting and challenging. And over two millennia, I think, continues to be the question. So I invite you to be the people of Joel, filled with the Spirit, prophetic. The Spirit upon us, dreams and dreams. Even our servants, I don't know how we tie that in with any analogy today, but even our slaves, men and women, will see dreams and see visions. And all of us, we are gifted and capable and have wonderful things to offer. But these gifts are not about us. These gifts are for us to offer to the world. And this is us called to follow and to lead to the kingdom. This isn't us versus them. This is us following God and offering God in love and care, in humility and pride, but always with Christ as our leader. Amen.